The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
That's me. Every time I hear that, I crack up because I told him I wanted a little Casey and the Sunshine Band and a little Saturday Night Fever and a little ABBA. You know, does that date me or what? Anyway, welcome to the show. We're live here on KCNR 1460. Really excited about this show tonight. Yes, it's rodeo, everybody. Woohoo! If you're listening on the way to park and the rodeo, you're in for a really great time. And tonight, Jared, how you doing? I understand you were in the stand. We were there together last night. We should have been like woohooing together.
Yeah, I was. I was sitting behind Mike, actually.
You were? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, we got there, I don't know, probably about 6. So
yeah,
we were pre-rodeo stuff.
Yeah, I got there about 7 o'clock.
Oh,
it
did you
6:45.
Did you get to see the mutton busting?
I did.
Okay, is that hilarious?
That's always so cute.
Okay, it's my favorite part.
One of these kids hung on to that sheep
yep.
so hard.
Absolutely.
And he got 20 bucks
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, and you know, usually they get a pair of Dustin boots. We were like, wait a minute. I mean, don't cut back on the kids' boots. But anyway, so a lot of fun. And yes, we're live here. This is Linda Bott. You're listening to On the Spot with Linda Bott here on KCNR 1460. And it's great to be back in the saddle again. And with me tonight, we're going to roll here. But first, I need to say shout out to my sponsors and let you know some dates of some performances. I know many of you have been asking, when are you performing? Are you still doing jazz? Yes. In fact, this Sunday, Jazz on the Veranda will be at View 202. I'll be there from 11 to 2, and Bernie Baker and Bruce Kalin will be playing. Bernie, of course, is the phenomenal guitar player, and Bruce is stand-up bass, so we do Jazz on the Veranda. And great mimosas, wonderful brunch, come and hang out. It's fabulous. And then mark your calendars for Thursday, June 2nd. You know, when Joy comes in and does their show here, when I'm performing over the first Thursday of the month and at Wind River and Elements Lounge. So that night will be Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on stand-up bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and my special guest will be Rick Hill on guitar. And, you know, we have 2 hours of doing, like, throwback, wonderful music that would be as if you went to Vegas, baby, and you saw the lounge act. So come out and see Lady Bott and the Bluebirds. That's June 2nd. Thank you also to my favorite boutique in Reading, Dandelion. They have been sponsors of this show since we started, and I think we're in our 6th year here on KCNR 1460. Love that Molly's come in and done some wonderful replacement, summer replacement, and I think she's going to be doing one Thursday night a month, and she's a blast. And so Dandelion, thank you. We go in there and we love to spend our hard-earned money with your wonderful goodies. Dandelion on Pine Street, the new extended store. Go check it out. They have home goods if you're ever looking for a gift or you're looking for that special dress to wear to, let's say, someone's wedding, just a special event, or just to go to dinner or just to hang out. You know, you need a new summer piece or a wardrobe, they'll outfit you from head to toe, and they have great undergarments as well. So, you know, you just have to go in there and know the girls are going to take care of you. Wonderful, clean, great, safe place, the girls at Dandelion. And also thanks to Jeff at Crackmaster Windshield and Repair. Jeff his shop is located on 273. And if you have a chip or a crack up to, gosh, I think it's like half of your window long, you take your windshield in there. Both Carl and I have taken our cars into him before, and he is going to steer you in the right direction. He'll tell you you need to replace your windshield or not. Chances are you don't have to go through that. You can just get your chip or your crack replaced or fixed by Jeff, and he'll do a great job. Now, with me tonight are my special guests, and I'm so excited because you know this guy. Kyle DeFore from the NorCal Sports Hour, which started here on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I can't complain. How about you?
You can't complain. And we're going to be kicking off
Colt 45's baseball a week from tomorrow. That's Friday the 27th is the first game. You can get all the info there on ReadingColt45s.com. I'll be calling every game all summer long through the first or second week of August there, and I'll have some help as well. We've got some new blood in here at KCNR 1460.
Yeah, really excited about having our new intern extraordinaire, Maddie Novelli. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. And
good.
You attend Northwest Christian University.
Yeah.
But you've been a Reading girl, and you've gone off on a scholarship to play
baseball.
Yeah.
Softball, baseball. Same thing.
Softball. Okay, so I love the fact that tonight we're putting you, and you're going to be doing some of the shows with Kyle.
Yeah.
And you guys just met tonight, and I just said, I'm leaving the room because you guys are blah, 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 blah. It's so excited about it. Here, San Francisco diehard fans just talk about names, stats. So this is infectious. When people really love what they're talking about, it's like, in my world of music, when people start to talk about players and that album back, and you remember when they did this and they changed up the players and it changed the sound of the band. And so that's my world. But this is your world of sports. Maddie, what position are you playing? Tell us about your little history.
Well, actually, I was born in Redwood City, California. So I'm from the Bay Area. So that's why I'm a diehard Giants fan. And then I moved up here to Reading when I think I was 12. I was going to be in sixth grade. All my family's up here. I started playing softball when I was 4. My parents put me in a little t-ball, and I played with the boys. And I remember I was a bat girl, and I absolutely loved it. I was like, okay, I played all the time, and that's when I kind of knew that it was my passion. And then 10 years old, I started playing travel ball, which is where we traveled all summer and tournaments every single weekend, because I knew that if I wanted to play and actually be serious about it, I had to compete at a higher level. So I remember my parents, we took me to Colorado. We just went all over for tournaments. And it was a blast. They definitely supported me in that way. I was a pitcher all my life since I was 10 years old.
Oh, really?
I was like a workhorse. I would throw 2 to 3 games a day. And like in softball and like baseball, you can do that. Like it doesn't hurt your arm like baseball players, where they can only maybe throw 6 innings and they need a relief. So I think that kind of caught up to me because I hurt my arm my junior year of high school. I had something going on with my labrum and my shoulder, so I had to do some physical therapy. And kind of after that, I was like, not burnt out, but I was like, you know, I've been pitching for so long, I'm kind of done. And I didn't even think I was going to play softball in college. And then I just kind of was thinking about it, and I was like, no, I've worked so hard all my life to try to get to this level. Like, I can't just not play. And so then I contacted a coach up in Northwest Christian University. I ended up playing there for the last 2 years, and I actually play outfield because she told me for some reason that I'm fast. And all my life, I've never been told that. But, you know, she's like, you have speed and a good arm, so let's put you in outfield. And it was weird because I had never played that position.
So that's the question I have for you, too, that comes right to my mind. So how do you – because I'm sure there's a mentality. I mean, again, we were talking earlier that I equate things to music. So it would be like being multi-talented at playing different instruments. So – You know the game. You're the pitcher. You kind of run the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So how did you switch in your mind to go from being a pitcher mentality, which you've had, huge imprint since you were 4.
Yeah.
To then all of a sudden be injured and go into the mental awareness of being an outfielder. What happened for you?
It was super hard. My freshman year was a wake-up call. Like I said, I was used to playing all the time, playing, like, being in relief, going in when another pitcher was doing bad, and not even, like, being cocky, but just as a pitcher, you just have that confidence, and you're just always in control of the game. And so then I get up there, and I'm like, okay, I'm not pitching anymore. I'm in a new position. So making mistakes was my hardest thing, like not failing all the time and making errors and learning, having to relearn how to ground, like to field a ground ball. Like instead of fielding it in front of me, you do the sidearm while you're running, and just techniques of trying to like take my first step back when taking, like when doing a fly, I can't even talk right now, when fielding a fly ball and stuff. It was just hard, and it was a lot of mental toughness for me, because I remember going home my freshman year after and telling my parents, I don't know if I want to continue playing. I mean, college is a huge step. I don't think people realize the time that you could put in. I mean, I have 5 a.m. practice in the morning, I have weights, then you have practice in the afternoon, you have classes, and it's great, because it's definitely kept me in shape, and I've definitely felt myself grow the last 2.5 years as a person insanely, and so that's why I absolutely love it, and I'm glad I stuck with it. But I think I learned that it's okay to fail. And, like, yeah, I'm playing in college, but you're going to make mistakes. And I think I came from being so confident in my position as a pitcher and knowing, oh, I got this, I'm in control, I've done this my whole life, to playing a position where I was like, whoa, I'm a new, and all these other girls have been playing it their whole life. And I was just, I was discouraged, you know? It was hard for me.
Was there an aha moment, as we've heard before, it's been kind of paraphrased, or did you have a mentor that really was able to help you get into the visual aspect? Because that's, your whole body has to do a complete change in the action of that.
Yeah, I think for me, to be honest with you, it was an aha moment. I think I was in the outfield my freshman and even this last year, and making those amazing diving plays or getting a great hit and just realizing, wow, like, I love this sport. I don't care where I play. I just want to be playing. I want to, you know, and you understand, like, play, like, making a big play for your team or winning or getting that hit that needed to be hit. Like, you just feel, like, on top of the world. And I think that's when I felt like, okay, this is great, you know.
So, Kyle, this is great. I mean, so now you're getting to know Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting to know Maddie, too, because Maddie's come to us through her uncle, Rich Novelli, of course, the owner of Willgate. And I am a big fan of Rich. I think he's a great guy. And so he said, well, my niece is coming to town. And we said, great, we'd love to have her intern. So you'll be hearing a lot from Maddie Novelli, who will be with us on many levels this summer. We're really thrilled to have you here in the KCNR family.
Thank you.
And we were like, we got to get you with Kyle. And you've already been to the field. You met Bassetti, you know, all these different, like, you're going to bring your passion and your expertise. What do you think? Is this a great fit?
Well, just dovetailing off something she said earlier that totally resonated, the idea of when you love a sport and when you're, the dedication that it takes to, I think a lot of people don't really understand what it takes to play sports at a high level, at the high school level, the varsity high school level and above, the amount of dedication it takes to that. The last 10 or 15 years, especially the last 10 years, we've seen a really sea change in how youth athletes are handled. You know, when I was a kid growing up in the 90s, way back when, you know, you played one sport in the fall and one in the winter, and you played the one in the spring, and during the summer you played whichever one you were usually best at in some kind of non-school league, and then you'd do it all again the next year. And nowadays you see kids as early as 10, 11 years old going, this is my sport. This is the one I'm going to get a scholarship in, or this is the one I can realistically play at a high level and be one of the top 4, 5, 6% of the sport that I'm going to be in. You know, there's not a whole lot of 2-3 sport varsity college athletes anymore. And part of that is because the leagues get more serious and more competitive at a younger age. I mean, there was a video that went viral on the internet last week of this kid in the eighth grade, and he looks like he's 25 years old, and he's like threw the ball off the backboard to himself and dunked it over this other kid who looks like he's in the eighth grade. And it's like, that guy has a mustache, you know? It's like, and that's not unusual anymore. I mean, LeBron James was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was a junior in high school. Yeah. So, I mean, these are obviously the outliers there, but certainly with sports that require a lot of organization, like softball and baseball and football, where you have to have the fields, the facilities, the coaches, the equipment, to where it's cost prohibitive in a way that, you know, that soccer and basketball are not, you see the organization at these levels, like she was talking about playing in tournaments from a very early age, to where when you get up to high school, it's like, okay, there's 5 or 6 people that are really, really good on the high school team,
right,
or 3 or 4 or however many
it may be,
and then there's a bunch of people who are softball players. But everybody knows who they're, and the stats usually bear that out. But with youth sports, it's a complete sea change from the way it used to be, where it was just, oh, we'll just roll the ball out on the field and let them play. And now it's very, very, I mean, it's intensive because there's the scholarships. You know, not everybody's going to, we know that an infinitesimally small number of people that play college sports are going to go pro and make any money, you know, and play at any level. Most of them are trying to get into sports medicine or the agent representation side of it or the broadcasting side of it. There's a lot of people that want to do that, but even the competitiveness to get into the college scholarship. I mean, the idea of education costing what it is now, that's, for a lot of people, that's the golden ticket, if to get that education where otherwise might be cost prohibitive for them, or they're going to go tens or thousands of dollars in debt, depending on which school they go to. It's really increased the competition at the lower levels of sport, where you see now you have these people that are coming up and just blowing away competition when they're 14, 15, 16 years old.
Okay, well, on that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's great, Kyle. I love the passion. And like I said, we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about that. I really want to hear about the scholarships, how you choose a college, because you can play anywhere. When you're probably at the top of your field, you're scouted, then you decide you're going to change positions and what, you know. So I'd like to get more into that. And then I can't wait to turn you guys loose on your favorite team and hear the stats flying back and forth, because Kyle wears his hat all the time. So we're going to talk about that, too, when we get back. Let's take the messages, or let's take our break right now as you listen to our wonderful sponsors. And we'll be right back here on KCNR 1460. You're listening to On the Spot with Linda Bott. Hey!
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
Be part of the Swing with the Legends Over the Line Tournament, Dinner, Auction, and Golf Tournament Fundraiser, May 21st through 23rd. One of 25 former Major League Baseball players will be at each table during dinner and be a member of each golf foursome, including Hall of Fame members Fergie Jenkins and Eddie Murray. The Swing with the Legends weekend is a benefit for One Safe Place, the Luis Miramontes Memorial Foundation, and the Colt 45 South City Park Security Fund. For more info and to get the best deal on the dinner and golf, visit swingwiththelegendsreading.com or call 244-0118, extension 202.
Welcome back to On the Spot with Linda Bott. This is, we are live here on, my goodness, it's rodeo night here, and we're on the 19th of May. I'm so grateful that you guys came in tonight because, you know, we just came back, my birthday Saturday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And, so I've really been kind of going through, like, you know, as you get older, doesn't mean you guys are going to do this or not, but, where have I been? Who am I? What am I accomplishing? What am I doing with my life? Am I making a difference? And so I kind of go into like a, almost like it's profound.
Take stock of the last year or 5 or 10.
And this year's been really like weird, hard for me. It's not about turning an age because I'll always embrace.
And in 39 fact, is not that old.
It's really not about that, really, because that's not it. It's just about, like, where I want to go. So I love it when I'm around people who are super passionate and they're like walking the talk and talking the walk or whatever, any way you want to look at it, backwards and forwards. And so if you're just tuning in, I want to introduce you again to Kyle DeFore, who is the host and the founder and the creator of NorCal, a sports hour. He's with us tonight. We're going to be talking all kinds of things. I love your
founder
passion.
Founder sounds so important.
Founder,
like
you
that.
Are. And then not only that, the Colt 45s starting their opening weekend next week.
Yep, a week from tomorrow night, Friday the 27th.
And you're going to be the voice that's going to be calling it out. I mean, you're so wonderful.
Well, that's so nice of you to say. I appreciate it. When we launched the NorCal Sports Hour on February 2nd, it was the week before the Super Bowl. I remember I was talking to Molly in January, and And I'm just, as we were talking off the air here, I had the chance to call five Colt 45 games with Nate last year, and I got to do three football games towards the end of the season there. And it had kind of been kicking it around in my head, and the idea of it. And I talked to Molly, and I said, "Hey, Molly, you know, what do you think about maybe in July or August? You know, we start a local sports show that kind of covers all the local stuff, because there isn't really anything like that around here, you know, that's on the radio." And I said, "You know, give me a few months to make all the connections and get with all the ADs and the coaches and everything, and let's launch it in July or August, right before the school year starts, and we'll go right into the fall sports." And she's like, "Okay." Oh, she's like, "Yeah, I'll talk to Carl and I'll get back to you." And she says, "How about we do it the week before the Super Bowl?" Which was about 2 weeks away from when she asked me that. I'm like,
"You could,
yeah,
do it.
We could, yeah, let's yeah. do it." You know,
you
so it. So we're flying on a wing and a prayer, but it's a lot of fun.
And
every
I love
week.
It. And let's not forget that you know, Kyle's family is Mighty Fine Foods, mm-hmm. and that you have brought that business into what do you want to call it, this century and beyond. The fact that, you know, I love that, again, the passion, not only with the sports, but what you do in order to, you know, you went away for college and then mm-hmm. came back. This is a family owned.
I'm one of those boomerang kids you hear about. I graduated from Foothill High School, class of 01 here. And then I left and went down to Sonoma State for a few years, down in Santa Rosa. And then lived in Southern California for a while, lived in the Midwest, lived in the South for a little while, doing different jobs for different companies, trying to figure out what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be. And ended up coming back in about 2010 here. I was working in the skincare industry down in Southern California. Took a job with a small company up here and was with them for a year and a half. That was a good experience. But and then it ended up, my parents have been in the grocery business since the 1960s. My dad's a butcher by trade, and it ended up that he had sold the store that was out there in Bella Vista in 2001 to another local family here, and it ended up that they weren't going to make it out there, so we ended up taking it back in May of 2012. Actually, the 10th, which was a week ago, Tuesday, was our fourth anniversary being back there, but... But yeah, not a lot of locally owned and operated places left.
No.
So we try to do the best we can out there, and it's certainly, we've got a full lake and great weather coming up on the summer here, and for Memorial Day weekend, I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, we're doing 10% off for all veterans and active duty military personnel and their spouses. That's Friday through Monday. Everything in the store other than gas and propane outside. So everything in the store, that includes alcohol and tobacco. A lot of times places will put a sale on and they'll say everything but this and this and this,
right,
which you actually came
you
in to buy.
Everything.
No, if you served our country or have served our country or are serving our country, we'll give you 10% off on your beer. You have earned it. You've more than earned it.
And let's talk about how many beers?
Yeah, over 250 beers. We're actually closer to 300. I need to do a new count because we
individual types, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've and I've got two full doors of singles. So if you don't want to buy a 6 or a 12, you can try the single and see what you like.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Well, you know, I'll put my variety up against anybody. You know, you can get a Budweiser or a Coors Light anywhere. You know, those are all over the place. But we try to carry as many local and localish Oregon, Northern California, and coastal breweries as we can too. So
that's fantastic. And also with us tonight, if you're just tuning in, is Maddie Novelli, and she is back in Reading with her family here, and she's interning with us here. On many levels, you'll hear her voice and helping out Kyle at the Colt 45 games, which, you know, we are very, very excited about. We love the whole Colt 45 mentality. It's another Tiger Field is every year. There's improvements. We love what Rick Bassetti has done. He's brought his National League presence here. And is super passionate about it, which is what I feel like the two of you, no matter where you go and what you do, you're going to bring your love of the sport. So, Maddie, let's go back to you and talk about how, after you got out of high school, how did you choose Northwest Christian University?
It's funny.
You could go anywhere.
It's funny because I remember, like, graduating high school, I told my parents, I was like, I'm not leaving. Like, I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to go JC. I was kind of in that mindset where I was like, I don't want to go anywhere. And then I think we went and toured U of O and went to a softball game because Sharon Hawkins is from Anderson, California. You know her. Mm-hmm. She's huge, big time, just won Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year for Oregon. We went and watched her, and I, like, toured the campus, and I told my parents, I was like, no, this school's way too big. I feel like I'm going to get lost. And I was like, okay, like, I'm not going here. And then one of my friends that I went to Foothill with ended up going there, and she told me about it. So I went in the library one day at Foothill because they have this career thing where they bring in all these colleges and you just talk to them and they kind of show you. And here it is, this little school, and it's like, oh, it's in Eugene, Oregon, right across the street from U of O. And I was like, what? Like, I was just there touring it. Like, I've never even seen that college. Like, where? And so I looked into it more, and then I went and visited it. It was, like, pouring down rain. I remember me and my parents were walking outside the campus, and it's just raining so much. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, do I really want to go to college up here? But I love the rain and the weather, and I have family in Oregon, in Portland, and my mom's actually from Lake Oswego. She went to Portland State. So I kind of, I have family up there. So I thought that if I were to leave, that I would go to Oregon. And so then I contacted the softball coach, met with her, kind of told her, like I've been telling you guys, I didn't think I was going to play softball. I kind of gave up myself. I kind of, after getting hurt, I was burnt out. I thought, okay, this is it. I'm done kind of thing. And then she kind of talked me into it. And my parents were just like, no, I don't want you to go through regret. Actually, a big influence was my cousin David, who got a full ride scholarship for football to Brown, and he turned it down. And he just tells me year after year when he sees me how much he regrets it.
Oh, boy.
And so I think that kind of sat with me a little bit, like, whoa, Maddie, you have this chance to be able to play softball in college. Like, I know it's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. But, like, life is challenging. You have to, you just need to do it. So I did. And like I was telling you earlier, I actually was a walk-on. Didn't get any scholarship money because I know a lot of people think that when you go to college and play sports, oh, you must be on scholarship. But I wasn't. Worked really hard my freshman year. Definitely wake up call because it was just crazy the amount of time and the effort, and I just learned so much about myself and what my abilities were and how much action I can actually push myself. And then I was offered a scholarship, and now I'm back up there, and I have two more years, and I'm super excited. I love my teammates. I love my coach. I love the town of Eugene. Like I said, I'm right across the street from U of O, so I go to all of the sports games. It's just a great town. I live right by Austin Stadium, so I walk to the games, baseball and football. I hear it from my room, the announcers and the cheering. So it's really fun. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, isn't that a great addition? Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I think you have a great story for other people to persevere. And that's really interesting about your cousin David. I don't know him, but to think that you would get a full ride, I wonder when he discovered in his mind, what made him say no.
Yeah.
And then now looking back to say, you can't rewind your life, but you can change it.
Yeah.
Did he still end up going to Brown, or did he go somewhere else?
No. I think he went to a couple other colleges. He was dating my cousin at the time. So, and then he's a firefighter now. So he has a great life and he's super loving his life. But I think he went to maybe San Diego State. I don't know. Don't quote me on it. I don't want to say.
I was going to say, they don't give out Ivy League scholarships to just anybody.
But so. He went to Foothill and he played football for years there. So, it was cool. It's just, I think he told me that, like, before I left for college, just like, Maddie, I regretted it so much. Like, I regret it. Like, you got to take advantage of that. So that kind of stuck with me, and I didn't really think that it stuck with me until I was thinking about it.
So there, your words are, and your life and your story so far is really inspirational to just, you've gone through the injury, you're a walk-on, you chose to, you've got your family love and support, but that's a big deal for you to move there.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, I'm on my own now.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at yourself in the mirror at the end of the day, and I can imagine there were a lot of nights you cried yourself to sleep.
Oh, I was just going to say that. I don't think I've had so many, I was just crying and mental breakdowns and telling my parents, like, I can't do this anymore. Or, after 5 a.m. conditioning, being just dead, not being able to walk, and I'm just like...
That would make me cry if I could get up at 5 a.m.
It's horrible.
I don't getting get up at 5 a.m. for anything.
4:45 every single morning. Because in Oregon, like I said, it's raining. So a lot of the times we can't practice on our field. Like, we don't have a turf field. Our field is dirt. So we have to go to the gym and have a full-on practice. So we'll have 5 to 7:30 a.m. practice. And, it's nice at the end of the day because we're done. But it's just, it's horrible waking up. I think I got used to it, though. Like, my body got used to it working out and sweating that early.
Is there a rule in the gym that the ball can't touch the ground so that you don't mess up the floor or the walls or anything? I'm curious how that works out.
We use softies. Okay. And then we have our hitting cages that we do all of our hitting in. So, yeah. It's funny, though. I know.
You got to plan for that rent. You know,
for real.
You mentioned I when I was getting ready to go to college. Like I said, I ended up going down to Sonoma, but I have family that lives up in Washington, in the Seattle area, and I went up and I toured University of Washington, and it was, you know, it's the biggest public university on the Pacific Rim, almost 40,000 students at the time. I'm sure it's more now, but 19 library. I mean, just everything that they have is first rate. And then the tour guide got to the part where they said, "Yeah, and in Seattle, it's overcast or rainy 230 days out of the year," and said, "Guess I'm not going to be a Husky." So
yeah,
too bad about that.
Yeah, like being in California and going up to Oregon, when the sun comes out, it's like Eugene goes crazy. Okay. Everyone is outside on their skateboard, their bike.
I make fun of my sister that lives up there, because we went up there years ago when they bought their house and they were fixing it up, and right after my sister and brother-in-law got married, and you know, she's from here and he's from up there, and we go up there in July and they're doing their house, and someone had the TV on in the background, and it's like, heat wave, make sure you stay inside during the middle of the day, make sure you stay hydrated. It's like, today's high will be 91. And I'm just like, oh, so that's like the middle of April in, I'm like, that's like 9 a.m. on a summer day in Redding.
You go
like,
outside on the street and say, whoosh, you're a bunch of whooshes.
I'm like, you guys are so soft. Unreal. 91. Get out of here.
Seattle, land of the woodsies.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, Kyle, so when you're sitting here, I'm sure this conjures up a lot of like, when did you get the bug? When did you go, I am going to be involved with sports. It's going to be part of who I am.
I like her T-ball story, how she played T-ball with the boys because there wasn't a girls league yet, because I was the youngest 4-year-old in the 5-year-old T-ball league. I had my parents lie about my age so that I could start playing a year earlier, and then played that all the way through school up to high school, and then had to have that hard conversation with yourself where you go, you know, Kyle, you really love baseball, but it's about your third or fourth best sport, and you realize that you can work really, really hard and maybe make the baseball team, or you can show up and be number one on the tennis team. So I kind of took the second route because I was a much, much better tennis player than anything else. I was average basketball player, average to slightly below average baseball player who topped out, like I was telling you off the air, low 80s fastball isn't gonna cut it. But tennis was, my mom was a competitive tennis player in her youth and started me when I was like 6 or 7, and I played tournaments when I was younger.
Really?
And stuff like that. So that was, I kind of, and after my sophomore year, I dropped off basketball too and just did tennis for the rest of the year. I did cross country my senior year to get in shape for tennis because it's a spring sport, but that was essentially a elongated training exercise.
So are you doing any of that now?
Oh, God, no. Oh, no, I'm in the worst shape of my life, and it's not even close. I have a lovely girlfriend who I live with, who used to be a professional baker for over 7 years. So I am the softest through the middle I've ever been, and I couldn't be happier. I live up on 7 acres up in the mountains and on a homestead with 4 dogs, and she's a phenomenal cook. So I'm in the worst shape of my life, and it's not even close.
But you're talking about sports.
I have firmly moved into the phase of my life where I announce and talk about sports rather than actually try to do them myself and embarrass myself. I was in a softball league a couple years ago, and it let me know just how far I had fallen. I was just like, oh, man, that's no good.
That's hilarious, but you still take the passion, I mean, to do four sports well.
Oh, well, you know, I've always loved baseball. That was always my first love as a fan. And you know, growing up, I was born in 1983, so I was 6 years old when you had the Bay Series in 89 with the earthquake between the A's and the Giants. Of course, I loved the Bash brothers all through the late 80s, early 90s. But my favorite player, even before he became a Giant in 1983, was Barry Bonds. I played his first 6 years of his career, first 6-7 years of his career with the Pirates, and he had already won the MVP once in 91, but he was a great, or 92, he was a great, great player, 5-tool player, and then he signed with the Giants in the prime of his career in 93, won the MVP in 93, and that 93 season is really that moment where they ended up missing the playoffs on the last day of the season. They lost to the Dodgers. The Braves won one more game than them. That was back when you only had 4 divisions in baseball. Now you've got 6 and 2 wild cards, and if you win 88 games, you get to be in the playoffs now. But that was really the year, that 93 year with Clark and Bonds and Matt Williams and Robbie Thompson and Rod Beck, and that was my favorite Giants team until the 2010 championship team, the first title team. But that was really kind of when I fell in love with baseball and didn't. I'm one of the ones who the strike didn't even affect me whatsoever. In 94, when they had no World Series and they quit playing in the middle of August because of the strike, a lot of people fell off and didn't really come back till the great home run chase of 98 with Sosa and McGuire, where McGuire broke the home run record and all that. And there was kind of some thin years there, 95, 96, 97, where the fans hadn't come all the way back because it was the first time they hadn't had a World Series in, you know, almost 100 years. So, but I, as a kid during that time, the 90s for me, looking back, is kind of a golden age of sport in multiple sports. Not only because I'm a spoiled 49ers fan who got to see a couple Super Bowls, but now I'm a spoiled Giants fan who's had three titles in 5 years, and it's an even year now. So, but no, our family's always been a sports family. My mom's one of the biggest Giants fans you'll ever meet, watches every single game. She and I always watched tennis growing up. She watches everything that's on TV there. So,
you know, player stats.
Oh, yeah. No, I can tell you the batting average, home runs, and RBIs of everybody who on the 93 Giants.
All right. So
it's
we're
like in there. I can't get rid of it.
All right. Well, that's all right. We love it. So when we're going to talk more about that, we have to take a break. And I know that Maddie's a big Giants fan, too. So,
yes, I am.
We're going to turn you guys loose here when we get back. We're going to take a break. This is Linda Bott. You're listening to On the Spot with Linda Bott. I'm with Kyle DeFore and Maddie Novelli. Sounds like a team that's made in heaven coming up here the summer months. We're going to be doing a Colt 45 games. But we're going to take a break right here and give some love to our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
There are few things you can count on. In the North State, it's hot. Well, count on this. Solar shades from Budget Blinds. Solar shades keep sunlight out. The use of solar shades help in reducing indoor temperature during our hot summer days by minimizing the amount of heat allowed indoors, reducing the need for air conditioning. At Budget Blinds, creating your perfect atmosphere at home or at the office is our goal. Budget Blinds comes to you with the latest trends in textures, patterns, colors, and now solar shades. What else? Now listen to this. Ready? What about the exterior? Budget Blinds will help you beat the heat this year with exterior solar screens. That's not all. Install exterior solar screens and receive a rebate of up to $500 from Reading Electric Utility. Did you hear that? Count on being cooler this summer with exterior solar screens and solar shades and a rebate up to $500 to boot. Wow.
Give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
There's something all-American. I mean, what we have in America that, of course, now traveled around the world is baseball and jazz.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, started right here, baby. So welcome back to KCNR 1460. This is Linda Bott. You know, usually I talk about art. You know, I'll have an author on or talk about music or fashion and fun. And tonight, I just am so excited to have Kyle DeFore. He is the guy who has a Tuesday night show called the NorCal Sports Hour, as well as he is the new voice for all things sports and Colt 45s, which begins next weekend. And also Maddie Novelli, who is here on the summer break. She's playing, what do you call it, baseball or softball?
Softball
at Northwest Christian University. You're majoring in and minoring in, share with our listeners.
I am majoring in communications, and I'm minoring in criminal justice.
in criminal justice.
Yeah.
We were talking about that at the break.
Yeah.
Before we took a break, we started getting into the San Francisco Giants. Mm-hmm. Hold it. I want you to turn it loose now that we're on the air. And what did I say? I said, Kyle, you asked Maddie at the break, who's your favorite player ever on the Giants? And you guys are throwing these stats back and forth, so save it up. Now, who is your favorite? Do you have one or a few?
Honestly, right now, I was telling him, I love Crawford, and I also really love Madison Bumgarner because Madison has the same name as me, and he's a pitcher, and he's just amazing. Like, he's just a great pitcher. But I was telling you, growing up when I was little, I think my favorite player was JT Snow. I remember watching him with my dad all the time because I'm a huge Giants fan from the Bay Area. And my dad actually took me to my first baseball game. I think I was 5. I don't really remember. We have this cute picture of us in front of the stadium, though. And I remember him telling me, I tell all my friends this, though. He took me to that little area where you can play T-ball when you're little. And he told me, he said, Maddie, the moment I knew you were going to play softball is when you got up there and you smacked the ball and it was over the fence. And I told you just to go run all the bases. So apparently I was just running around and I was just so happy. Huge grin on my face. So, yeah, but I'm a huge Giants fan. Definitely went to a couple last summer and we're going to try to go to this summer.
I don't think it's possible to be unhappy when you're inside AT&T Park.
Gosh,
I mean, even if
amazing.
They lose, it's a good time.
Wow,
like, I
right.
mean, and they, I have this weird thing whenever I go to a game, they have like an 80% winning percentage when I go to games. So like there's no causation there and no correlation whatsoever, but it's one of those weird things. It's like when I go, they usually win. So I try to get to as many games as I can. Obviously that's hard to do, but, you were talking about, I like how you took it favorite player now and favorite player all time. One of my favorite guys right now is obviously Pence when they traded for him in 2012. We got him in the middle of the year in 2012 and the entire tenor of the team changed. You know, obviously we won in 2010, had Pat Burrell in left field, had different guys in the outfield. It was kind of a mix and match with that good infield that we had. And, of course, Posey was the cornerstone with the pitching.
I love him, too.
But in 2011, you know, they didn't make the playoffs. We made a midseason trade for Carlos Beltran and gave up a really good pitching prospect to rent him for 2 months. Didn't even make the playoffs in 2011. So in 2012, he's on the Phillies. The Phillies had kind of their window had closed. They had won the World Series in, what was it, 08?
Yeah.
And their window had kind of closed. A lot of their guys were getting older, but they had Pence, who was this good trading chip. And so the Giants gave up some prospects who, to my knowledge, I don't think any of them have really done anything. We kind of stole Pence from them. But he comes in and the team catches fire. And
it's fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and I've never seen a guy join a team in the middle of the year and immediately become part of the core of the team. Much less the heart and soul of the team. So I love a guy like that who gives you 1,000% on every play. Mm-hmm. Pitching wise, my favorite guy to watch this year is Samardzija. I love the Shark, 6'5", throwing 96 miles an hour. He's a free agent signing. He's only been on the team since the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. But our top three guys, I'll put our top three against anybody: Bumgarner, Cueto, and Samardzija. They have been lights out. And the fact that we got Peavy and Kane, actually, we got a good start out of both of them when they've been abysmal the first.
Sure.
I mean, we're in first place, and our 4 and 5 starter didn't show up until May. So that tells you, one, how mediocre our division is relative. The Giants really should win this division by several games. Mm-hmm. I picked them to win the division. I picked them to win the World Series before the season. But the Dodgers are down. They lost Greinke. The Rockies can hit, and they can't pitch. The Padres, or the Diamondbacks can pitch, and they can't hit. And the Padres can't do either. So we should be in pretty good shape in the Western Division. But favorite player right now has to be Pence. Pitching-wise, it's Samardzija. All-time favorite player we were talking about a little bit in the break. Of course, Bonds was my favorite player even before he came on the Giants. And then
why is that?
Well, he was just a five-tool player, and he was a great, great player. My mom's favorite player growing up was Bobby Bonds in the 60s and 70s. That was her favorite Giant, him and McCovey. And Barry Bonds grew up in major league clubhouses. His dad was a pro. But I really liked how he played the game. And he was a really, really superior at all five aspects of the game. And then he came to the Giants, and they made that great run and went to the World Series in 2002. And it's just amazing to me that in the years that he was on the team, they never won the World Series because they just had so many great offenses.
And for laymen who don't really know what you're talking about, what are the five aspects of the game?
A five-tool player is a player who can run, hit for power, field, and throw. And Bonds some people would say he's kind of a 4.5 tool player because he didn't have the greatest arm. He had a very accurate arm, but he didn't have the strongest arm. But early in his career, I don't know if there was anybody better as a left fielder going to the left field line, spinning, throwing to second, keeping a single keeping a double as a single, which doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but to a pitcher, that's a really nice thing to have, to keep a guy out of scoring position where when he gets a hit down the line. But, I mean, and obviously, historically, numbers-wise, he's the best hitter since Babe Ruth. There's adjusted for his era and overall.
So I have a question for you. We're talking about Barry Bonds. It made me think about, you know, scandal. And how do you get past? I mean, you're thinking about him. And, of course, there was, you know, the doping or the steroids or whatever you want to call it, Bonds and a couple other people. Let's get back to Pete Rose. We never talked about Pete Rose, but my mind went right into Pete Rose. And he was a great that had this, you know, gaming kind of thing or whatever it was, gambling. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, the Pete Rose thing and Barry Bonds, I take two of these as the same thing here. Pete Rose is the all-time hits leader. He's got over 4,100 hits. Barry Bonds has the most home runs, the most walks, the most... I mean, he literally holds dozens of offensive statistic records, single season and career. The Hall of Fame not having the all-time hit leader, and the Hall of Fame not having the all-time home runs leader, who has a cornucopia of records, he is the standard for an offensive player for the last 40 years, since Willie Mays and Hank Aaron. Any organization that purports to be a Hall of Fame for professional baseball that doesn't have the all-time hits leader and doesn't have the all-time home runs leader is diminished by not having them in there. It diminishes the Hall of Fame not having those two men in it more than it diminishes the two men not being in it.
Right.
Because now Pete Rose, the gambling thing, it's slightly different. Pete Rose was banned in 1989 by Bart Giamatti, who was commissioner, and then he banned him from baseball because he had bet on games where he was the manager.
Right.
Which is obviously, that is completely unacceptable, and he should have been thrown out of baseball. But Bart Giamatti died while he was in office, and did not clarify whether that was a for life, whether that was for X number of years or whatever. So it's basically a de facto lifetime ban because it's never been clarified. And the powers that be in baseball is a very tradition-laden sport. It's the writers vote on all that, as opposed to now there's a veterans committee that you can get players on the ballot, but the baseball writers vote on who gets in and who doesn't. And they've basically drawn a line in the sand on Rose, and I don't think he's going to get in there before he dies, because the generation of writers that would be able to put him in there before he dies is not going to do it. And Bonds, it's just... It's ridiculous to me that we hold the hitters, you know, like a Sammy Sosa who corked his bat and juiced, Rafael Palmeiro, who's 500 home runs, said, "I did not use steroids, period," to Congress. Yes, you did. Alex Rodriguez, who's admitted it and come back and got hurt and come back. And, you know, we have all these guys, we crucify the hitters. We all these guys that they had warning track power that now can hit 25 or 30 home runs. We crucify those guys for doping, but we don't look back at the average fastball velocity of a pitcher from 1990 to 2010 and see that it's 4 or 5 miles an hour faster than it is now. I mean, Jason Schmidt came to the Giants, and I love Jason Schmidt, but Jason Schmidt obviously used HGH because he had the telltale giant jaw later in life. Your jaw stops growing. Terrell Owens, same thing. Terrell Owens, 49er. Eagle, Cowboy, great player, Hall of Fame, used HGH because your jaw stops growing at a certain age. If you continue to use HGH, it keeps growing. And if you see a man in his late 20s or early 30s with braces who's really, really in great shape, he probably uses steroids and probably uses HGH. So Jason Schmidt came to the Giants, and he had been the number five starter for the Braves. Now, granted, in the 90s, that... being the number five starter for the Braves like being a number two starter for another team. The Braves were really, really good. But Jason Schmidt was the number five starter for them, came to the Giants and started throwing 98 miles an hour with a 90-mile-an-hour changeup, and was an ace. And nobody asked why. You know, it's like we have all these guys throwing 95 to 100, and we've got a good chunk of them now. There's not a whole lot of guys over 30 years old throwing 95-plus. Mm-hmm. There really aren't, because your body, Maddie was talking a little bit about the pitching motion. When you're pitching underhand, it's a different motion. You can repeat that motion more often without stressing your arm than you can an overhand baseball throwing motion, to say nothing of pitching, is an unnatural motion. Your arm's not designed to do that. That's why guys' elbows fly apart and their rotator cuffs break down and they fray this nerve and that ligament and everything else, and half the guys have Tommy John by the time they're 20 years old now. But the pitchers coming off the juice, you know, you see these guys that were throwing 95, 96. Well, now they're throwing 91, 92. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but stand in on 90 and then stand in on 95 and tell me what the difference is. It's pretty different. I've stood in on 90. It's not fun. You don't even want to be in there.
Right.
I didn't want to be in there.
Right.
And that's average.
Right.
So, I mean, the pitchers have gotten a complete pass with the exception of it seems like we've decided to sacrifice Roger Clemens on the altar of steroids and every other pitcher gets a pass. I don't understand that, but you'd have to ask the baseball writers. I'm not on that committee.
Well, I'm just curious when you have somebody who's a total fan and you love them, do you forgive the fact that they did enhancement drugs?
Well,
I mean, how does that make you feel in the big picture of your idol?
Yeah. Oh, well, I've been called a Bonds apologist, and I make no bones about it. He's my guy, you know. I mean, and show me what did Barry Bonds do that he has been prosecuted for that wasn't legal at the time?
Okay.
We've heard about the cream and the clear and the reason that they're out to get Barry Bonds and they exonerated. By the way, they exonerated him of everything that he was ever charged with or obstruction of justice. The reason that they went after Barry Bonds, one is because he's the most visible target, but two is because, and this is why I don't think he'll ever be in the Hall of Fame, because the writers vote on it, because Barry Bonds wouldn't do their job for them. Barry Bonds was not a media-friendly player. I remember a radio interview that I listened to him, and one of the few radio interviews he ever did, it was early in his career, and someone said, Barry, you know, what would you say to people that say you're cocky? He said, well, I'm not cocky, I'm good. You know, and at a certain point, like, it's not bragging if you can back it up. And he's the best player I've ever seen in my entire life. Ken Griffey Jr. would probably be number two as far as total overall ability and getting the most out of that ability. Griffey Jr., unfortunately, the second half of his career was ravaged by injuries, and he never really reached that statistical potential that he could have been. He's one of the best players ever the first 10 years of his career. But Bonds, I mean, you're going to crucify this guy, and the baseball writers have basically made him he's the one that's never going to get in the Hall of Fame because he was never a good quote. Because he sat in a Barca lounger literally he had his own like super expensive nice lounger lounge chair in the clubhouse after the games, you know, didn't give the press the time of the day, you know, he wasn't warm cuddly Barry. He was, I'm here to hit baseballs at a very, very high level. I'm going to be paid a very high salary for that. And all those people out there, the 40,000 people that come to see me every day, those are the ones that matter because they're the ones who pay my salary. And the writers didn't like that because he wasn't a good quote. Now, am I making small or making light of some of the things that he's been accused of? Absolutely. But show me anything that Barry Bonds has been convicted of or anything that he's been accused of that any other player hasn't already been completely convicted of that was a lesser player. And he was a phenomenal player when he was 190 pounds. So when he went to 220 and went up a couple hat sizes and hit 70 home runs, we all loved it. I mean, look, I loved it. I loved watching every single at bat. ESPN would cut to him. So, you know, don't come to me years later after you've gotten all the ratings and you've gotten all the money and ESPN makes itself a financial juggernaut off of cutting to every at bat for him and Sosa and McGuire for 3 years and then say, oh, but it just wasn't real the entire time. Well, you know, it's like the pitchers were juicing, the hitters were juicing, the ball was woven tighter, all the parks they build are tiny now. They're all bandbox hitters parks, just about. There's been a little pushback. We've had a few parks built in the last couple of years that are pitchers parks. But all these things conspire to make the home runs go up, and then we were just all aghast that somebody might have actually been trying to gain a competitive edge. How many times have people been thrown out of the Olympics for doping? We had Olympics where the Russians didn't come, or we didn't come, right, or this or anything, for decades. Because everybody cheats. It doesn't make it okay, but everybody cheats. They just do. I mean, I don't know. It's like these big schools that recruit these football players. We had this guy that, he went from number one in the draft, number 13, because, they paid his rent or they paid his mom's light bill. You don't think there's guys on every football team in America that have their mom's light bill being paid by the coach or a booster?
Or they get caught with a bong on the internet.
Come on, man.
Oh, my God.
Follow the money.
That was just pure stupid.
That was crazy.
I'm sorry.
Football and basketball generate the revenue for these large schools that pays for all the other sports to be able to play that aren't spectator sports. As someone who didn't play the spectator sport, when I won my tennis title senior year, there were four people watching, and two of them were my parents. So tennis is not a spectator sport where you get the crowds and the money and all that stuff. There were four people watching, my parents, his coach, and my coach. That's who was watching the final match. So, you know, the two sports pay for everything, and so they get away with everything. That's the short of it.
Well, I'd love to hear the passion here, Kyle. Again, just really, I mean, really, I'm curious with this total love and passion about the game and how you felt about, you know, what do you do with when reputations could be tarnished, not happening with you? I mean, because you're going by statistics and everything like that. So I'm curious how you look at it. Okay, now we're going to have to, we've just got about a minute left. Closing thoughts, Maddie, and then we'll close with you, Kyle.
I'm really excited to work with you, Kyle. Yeah. Like, you know a lot of information about sports, and it's making me go, wow, I want to be like him, to just rattle off all that information. It's awesome.
Well, all you have to do is be a history major who attaches everything in your mind, has a chronological date attached to it. So, I mean, I'm 32, so everything back to 1983 is in order. And there's cause and effect there. So that's how I don't know how other people's brains work. That's how mine works.
Yeah.
You give me a year, I can probably tell you why that matters. But
growing up though, like not even growing up, but here just in the last couple of years, watching sports, I rattle off things that I know, and these people are just like, what the heck? Like, why do you know that? And I said, because I want to. Like, I'm interested. And they look at me. Like, last night when I was talking to one of the Marines.
Yeah, right.
He was like, what? You're that into sports? And I was like, yeah. There's a lot of girls. Oh, not many girls are into sports.
Yeah, you need to. Like, you should definitely bend that to your advantage, because that's a big draw for a lot of people.
Yeah.
For a lot of guys, I should say. Yeah. You should definitely use that to your advantage.
Yeah, girls, there's a book out there about that as well. I'll find out what that is next week. But thank you so much for joining us. So appreciate you, Kyle. Again, opening weekend next week. Get your tickets to the Colt 45s, you guys. It's the best show in town. Kyle's going to be the, what do you call it?
Announcer.
Well, you're more than that. So
play-by-play.
Play-by-play guy. And Maddie's going to be assisting him as well. So you're going to be like the color girl, the ball. You're going to be everything. So,
oh, yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. And again, we'll be here tomorrow morning at the Pancake Breakfast. We'll see you with 10,000 of your favorite friends. Tune in. We'll see you in KCNR 1460. Thanks for joining us tonight.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Hour from townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. An Egypt Air Airbus A320 crashed into the Mediterranean Sea early today, carrying 66 passengers and crew from Paris to Cairo. Authorities have been scouring a wide area south of Crete to look for debris. FBI Director James Comey says U.S. investigators are working with their global counterparts to try to determine what happened to the Egypt Air flight.
We in the national security business and law enforcement business have tried to make the world very small. So when something like this happens, we talk to each other and share information, and that process is going on right now.
Director Comey also cautions that although terrorism has now not been ruled out, it is too early to reach any conclusions about the cause of the crash. There are no signs of any survivors. The nation's leading airlines say Congress shares some of the blame for those long lines clogging airport security checkpoints that have caused some travelers to miss their flights. The trade group Airlines for America says Congress should reverse